This is an introduction to our message today. I'd like you to turn to 1 John chapter 2, which is what we've been teaching. And I see Gus is here, right? Gus and his wife. Good to see you. I miss you. I want you to know that. I miss you. Like good to see you. I said to the guys within the car, we were visiting people. I go, I miss Gus and his wife, so. Anybody know? And so here you are. Thank you, Lord. Great. It's good to see you. 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to go from verse 18 to verse 29. And let me give you a context for the text of Scripture. And it has to do with lies, actually, truth and lies. So John writes to the church, and he wants the church to be established in the truth and growing in truth and being persuaded by the truth. But he warns them that there are many antichrists in the world. And we see that there in chapter 2, verse 19. Okay, so we have a very interesting topic there. And I want to, I think I can, let me do it a different way here. Turn to Revelation 5. And verse 12. This is in heaven, and there is worship going on in heaven. A loud voice, verse 12, saying with a loud voice, there are thousands and thousands and 10,000 times 10,000s of people, and there's a loud voice saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. I want to write these words down. There are seven of them. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honor, and blessing. Is that up there?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have seven words Jesus receives in these, isn't it?
Glory
is one. I missed it.
Yeah.
Okay, we receive power, riches, glory. It was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory and blessing. Okay, glory. Glory and then blessing. Okay? Yeah, I mean, it could be done better, but you get. All right, this is what I want you to think about. In heaven, Christ is recognized as the highest, the greatest, the most important person regarding this world and the world that is to come. And these words are really words that we all want in our lives. If you think about it, these are words that you want as a person. You know, you want power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. But we don't have these words because of sin that has come into the world. Because of sin, then we try to get these words, but by our own means. We try to find power, we try to find glory, honor, blessing. We want that, but because of sin, we actually have found shame, weakness, confusion, guilt, hiding. We are afraid. All of these words about people because of our sin that we see in Genesis 3 and through the scripture is because we've lost God. We've lost God. Amazing, huh? When you lose God, you actually want that. You want, because you and I are made for glory. We are. And we want honor, okay, but we don't know how to get it. So we actually get it our own way. You can write down these words actually in another list. And actually, it's like we get it in our own way. Maybe you want to look good, so you have some cosmetic surgery. Maybe you want to be wealthy, so you do all you can to get money. Maybe you want to be intelligent, so you do. You might give the impression of being intelligent, but are you? But are you? You want people to respect you, but actually, do they? Do they? Or we are on a football team like today at the Super Bowl. There will be two great teams playing each other, and it's for glory, it's for honor, it's for power, riches, and so on. It's like we have built in our society these ways to get these words, okay? But here's the key to our lesson today. Do you believe that Christ has shared with us this list? Do you believe that you and I are called by God to partake of that? We are called His bride in the Bible. We are joined to Him, even we are members of His flesh and of His body. In Ephesians 5:30, in the same text, it says that we are members of His body, His flesh and bones. We are joined to Christ. We are called by His name. We are given honor and glory in heaven. But in this particular text in Revelation, all of heaven, we are all saying He is the one that has made this happen. He is the one that brought us into eternal life, that washed our sins away with His blood, and has crowned us with glory and honor. He is the one that did it, not we ourselves, Psalm 100, but He did it. Now, our lesson is this one. It's a very good lesson. And it is that there are antichrists in the world. And this word, antichrist, in the Greek, this word anti means, it has two meanings. It can mean against, like I'm anti. That's how we use it in English a lot. I am anti, I'm against that thing. But it also has another meaning, and it means instead of. Instead of, a replacement. An antichrist is a replacement for God. And there are many ideologies and religions that are presented to people as a replacement for Christ. Another Christ, it says, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Mark 13, 22. False Christ, false prophets. There's other teaching, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Just as there were false prophets in the Old Testament, so in the New Testament, there are other teachings, other ideas that are not according to the Holy Spirit, not according to apostolic truth, not according to the apostolic circles, the apostles and what they taught regarding truth. So you have Antichrist, and then you have this word in the text is the anointing. the anointing. Could you turn to your neighbor and just ask them, what is the anointing? Give them 1 minute to tell you. The anointing is the Holy Spirit on you, in you. You are anointed of God. The Holy Spirit has come into you, and he dwells in you. 2 Corinthians 1:21. You have an anointing that keeps you from error. You have an anointing where you discern the Antichrist spirit, the New Age movement, the idea that Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, came into Jesus and left him before the cross. There are many ideas, many ways that people, or that Jesus was a spirit. He wasn't in flesh. He was a spirit, and he came, and then he left. And the man that hung on the cross was not him, they teach. Another spirit, another teaching, another idea, the gods of this world. This is Psalm 138. We have this. David wrote this psalm, and he speaks about worshiping God, praising God in the presence of the gods, small g. Who are the gods? The many gods. There have been many gods through history, and they are attached to people groups. The Vikings had their gods. The Babylonians had their gods. Ammonites had their gods. The Philistines had their gods. Usually they are connected with a nation, the gods. But David is praising God in the presence of the gods. He didn't care about them. He ignored them. He worshiped God. That's the Spirit of God in you, where your focus is on God, the living God, the real God, the Almighty God. That's where we are in our lives. We are worshipers of God. We love God because God came into us. And the fruit of that is love. We'll see that in a minute also. Okay, so turn to 1 John 2. I'm going to finish the introduction here in a minute. Verse 18. 1 John 2:18. Little children. Remember what we said last week about little children? Little children are easily deceived. Little children are easily misled. You can lead them and they will go with you. You can tell them something, they will believe you. Little children, but these are spiritual. This is a label for new Christians. And in the church, there are three categories mentioned: little children, new believers, young men, and then fathers. So here we have verse 18. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. How many Antichrists? Many. Turn to your neighbor and just say, is the guy that lives next door to you, is he an Antichrist? No, but my cousin is. How many are there? Many. Anything except Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, paid for our sin, rose again. Anything other than him is okay. That's the spirit of the world. The world is saying, you believe anything you want. You can believe you're a bowl of cornflakes. It's okay with me. As long as you don't believe that man on the cross is your Savior. If you believe that, then you are born of God. And you have another spirit. You have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God guides you into truth. And that is what makes us different from the world and its antichrists. Many antichrists, many ideologies, philosophies, religions, atheism, everything is all antichrist. It's replacing Christ. But I never knew that I didn't have Jesus until I met Jesus. When Jesus came into my heart, now I understood what I was missing. Now I understood who he is. And it grows in you. Let's look at that for a moment. The growth of the believer. Here's a new believer. And I like to think of physical exercise like this. Have you ever done physical exercise? And it seems like you're not getting anywhere in your conditioning. You haven't lost any weight. You haven't gotten in better shape. You're not increasing in your perseverance or your tolerance level. And you're working out and working out and you're working out, and it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. It seems slow. And then it happens. It starts to increase your condition. And then it might be shocking what happened to you. It might be shocking how much you like it, how much it works, what's going on. Wow, this is awesome. I'm getting it. How about the football players tonight? They've been training and everything. Do you think they are feeling good? Are they feeling good physically? Okay. But that's not our target. Isn't our physical condition. It's a spiritual state of being where we are abiding. The word that we're going to in this epistle is the word abide. It's another word for fellowship. This epistle is about growing in our relationship with God, in our fellowship, where we actually discern and recognize the nature of God. And we are worshipers of God. And we have the Spirit of God. And we can tell. That's the voice of God. That's the truth of God. That's the nature of God. We can actually recognize that. And go, amen, amen. That's it. Amen. Amen, amen. Yeah, that's amen. Amen, amen. You get it? You see what happens to you in your heart and in your life by Christ in you, and you are increasing in him and discerning and recognizing what is going on in your life. I've got to say, my first year as a Christian had a lot of ups and downs. But eventually, I didn't give up. I kept going to the church. I kept reading the Bible. Have you ever read the Bible? I don't even know what I'm reading. I don't even know what I'm reading. I just am reading it, and maybe some of it is affecting me or some of it's going to rub off. But I read and I read and I read. It's like this picture here. Is anything changing? Is it helping me? I don't see. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter. I quit. Or, no. I've been with Antichrist for too long. I know what they are. And they're not interesting for me. They don't have a message. They don't have anything. They're empty suits. They have actually, this is what they have. They have, what is it? This little list, this is what the gods of this world have. They have their own little packaged power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing. But it amounts to a hill of beans. It's not, hey, you want to be beautiful as a person? Go for it. Try to get it. You lie down in sorrow. You want to be rich and you do whatever you can to get rich or be rich, you're going to lie down in sorrow. You want people to honor you? You want people to honor you? Go for it. It's not going to work. It doesn't work. It's the Antichrist spirit. that wants to set people up. You want to be happy? The Antichrist spirit will give you whatever to be happy, but you're going to lie down in sorrow. It's not reality. It's not God. The only one that will make you really satisfied is God. The only one that will really bless your life is God. The only one that you're really looking for is God. The only one that makes any difference in this world is the living God, our Heavenly Father, who said, ask of me and I'll give it to you. But it won't come in your package. It'll come my way by the anointing of God. You trust me and you'll know me. And when you know me, you'll be satisfied. Proverbs 19, verse 23. How about those potatoes? How about them potatoes? Amen. What about it? Okay, so, okay, one last, okay, here's the last little diagram. You like my diagrams?
Yeah.
Come on. I don't believe you. Okay.
Bravo.
Hey, listen, let's go to this one. Here's the thing about people. You have, this is, we'll write about Jesus here. Jesus loved truth. And what about a lie? What did he, how did he relate to a lie? What's the word? Lie. Love truth, hates a lie. Does he hate a lie?
Yeah.
Nobody can hate a lie like Jesus can hate a lie. Jesus hates a lie. I mean, he hates it with a perfect hatred. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. By the way, the world doesn't preach this, the world doesn't do this. But we do it, you do it, we do it, we have the Spirit of God to say these things.
Amen.
The world said, thank you. Bill, did you say something? No, that's okay. No, it's good. I love you. Okay. Jesus loved the truth, hates the lie. It's very strong. It's very strong. The difference between a lie and truth, like Christ is right there. There's such a big, like he cannot tolerate a lie. And he was in this world. And he had this, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said it very clearly, and we understand that he is the answer for us. Because people are different with this. We love the truth a little bit, and the lie isn't that bad. The lie isn't that bad. We can live with a lie. You're going to have a lie in your bosom, right in your heart. You're going to have a lie in your heart, and it's okay. You can live for days, weeks, years with a lie in your heart, and it's okay. Not Christ. Christ is truth, and he hates a lie. Now, let's give an example. Adultery. Adultery in the mind of Christ is sin. Not possible. It cannot happen. It's not in God. That's not God's will. It's not his mind. But with people, it is. And they say love. If you really love somebody, I mean, this is, we understand it. You can put down here a long list of words, like we understand adultery or lying or being deceitful a little bit or telling a little bit of a lie and these kind of things. This is because we don't really love truth. And because you can't really love truth by yourself, because we are liars. Man is a liar in his heart. Romans chapter 3. All men are liars. Because I'm a liar, I'll say I love the truth. I love the truth, but like, dial it back, okay? Dial it back. Jesus is saying, no, I love the truth, with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my life, and I'm going to hang on a cross because of it. Because that's where the truth will bring us when we live in a world that is antichrist. When we live in an antichrist world, they don't like this spirit that we have. That adultery is sin. And there are many other sins that are not acceptable to us. But with the antichrist, you say, what's the problem? Let's all get along. Let's all have peace and harmony and sing kumbaya around the fireplace and get along with each other. And we say, yeah, we understand that. We do the best we can. But in my heart, in our hearts, we are anointed of God. And we have an anointing. And that Spirit of God makes us different. And that adultery is not acceptable. It never is. It's unacceptable. It's never. Your love is not God's love. Your love is a human love. And you're trying to find your way without the Spirit of God, and you can't do it. You're going to end up with a little list of things that you're going to pursue. Where are we? This little list of things that you're going to pursue. You want people to like you. You want the riches. You want the whole thing, whatever list you want to use here. I mean, that's the list that's in Revelation 5. Revelation 7 is another list. It's very similar. But the point is that people cannot find what they really need without Christ. When you find Christ, then you find what you're really looking for in life. And that's a relationship with God who is honoring you. God is honoring you, and you can feel it. You actually feel it. God is honoring you because this little diagram, this one of fellowship, the physical workouts, you know, they don't seem to be working, and then suddenly they take off. Spiritually, I'm just using it as a metaphor that many times in a spiritual way, we have a sense, but we're still not sure. And I want to say, follow God with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. You will find in your heart, you'll find that reality of that truth. And Jesus said that truth will set you free. And you'll be free indeed. Wow, good word. Amen. Okay, so while I'm at it, I'm going to just finish the message here because I went pretty long on the introduction. Well, let's just go to the text, chapter 1, and we will read down through and finish up here the message. Verse 18, little children, many antichrists. Verse 19, the antichrist went out from us, but they were not of us. They couldn't handle the preaching. They couldn't handle the anointing. They couldn't handle the love. They couldn't handle the truth of it. They couldn't handle the conviction. By the way, that's why we don't have to police the congregation. God will filter people out. People will leave because they don't have the Spirit of God. People will come to make inquiry, they'll look around, they'll check it out, see what's going on, and they'll leave and they'll never come back. We wish they would. Or some do, 20 years later. I've had that happen. One guy came back 8 years later, he said, I got saved, I'm back. I wasn't saved when I came here. But now I found Jesus, and I love this place. One guy told me at the door, he said, I said, how did you come? He said, a guy at work told me, he said, do you want to go to a real church? Go down to Greater Grace. But I'm not going there. You go down there. That's what the guy told me at the door. That's how he came. He said, guy at work told me, go down. Do you want to have a real fellowship? They teach the word down there. Go on down there. But I'm not going down there. It'll be the last place I want to go. I made that up, but. You know, I'm just joking around. Verse 19. They left. They would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. That's John the Apostle. He was an apostle and had apostolic circle. He had an influence and affirmation from so many people that he is of God. John is of God. And this has passed through history from God to us believers. And we know we are not anything, but we are very delighted that God has called us and he has anointed us to be part of his body. Verse 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One. That means anointing. And you know all things. Now, somehow I always read into that verse, you know, all the things that are so important for making life happen the right way. The right way. It happens the right way. Let me also write down a note here for you. This is, okay. There are two hards. Okay, two hards. Hard life. There's a hard life. You can go this way. It is hard. And that is not following Christ. Not believing in Christ, not doing it Christ's way, not believing in the truth, and your life will be hard because we are sinners. It'll be hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. You can put in there many words about the curse on the human race. Loneliness, disappointment, depression, fear, fear of death, fear of disease, fear, broken hearts, broken relationships, losing a loved one. It happens in life. This is hard. Life can be hard. But there's another hard, and that's follow God. And God's way is actually easy. His yoke is easy, and his weight, the burden that we have in life is light. But I have to be honest, and I have to bring in this point, that many times in your Christian life, you have to make hard decisions. And you say, I'm not going to live in that sin. I'm going to trust God. Yeah, but don't you like that girl over there? Don't you like that girl? It's like, yeah, I do. But I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. That's a hard decision. Yeah. But I don't want the other hard. That means that might be a hard decision, but if I don't make that decision, I'm going to have another kind of life without the anointing of God leading me and abiding in God and finding the peace of God and the way of God. I've noticed in the beer advertisements now, there's non-alcoholic beer, non-alcoholic drinks. And I'm glad that the world is getting the idea that alcohol is not my friend. It's not my friend. It's expensive. I'm a tightwad, okay? I don't want to spend the money on that stuff. And besides, health reasons. Why do I need that? Health reasons, relationship. How about drinking and then you say things you wish you had never said to your wife or your child? And you said stupid things because you didn't have authority over your tongue. That way is hard. That's a hard way. But there's another hard, and that's saying no. No, I'm not doing that. That's not in my life. I'm going to be a different kind of person. I'm going to find God and the anointing of God in my life so I can live a different way. It might seem hard, but it isn't. The way is easy because he showers grace on us and he builds us up in the way that we should go. We are anointed of God. Look at verse 20. You have an anointing from the Holy One and you know how to live. You know the important things about life. You know how to say no, and you're able to say yes. You're able to deny yourself comfort or pleasure. How many salesmen say, you deserve this? You deserve this. And I look at that guy and think, what do you know about me? That's a line. Wait, you deserve it. You work very hard. What do you know about me? What are you selling me? You're a seducer. You don't talk to me like that. You are a seducer. What do you think? Somebody owes me something? It's like, no. We have another spirit in our heart. We have another way of thinking, another way of living in our lives. We have another way of talking. We have another way of singing and praising. We have another way of making decisions. We are God's anointed. Huh? Verse 21. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. He's saying, because I know you have the Spirit and we're on the same page, then I'm writing these things to you. Because you already know it. Verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Who is a liar? Here's another little... I've got to keep my eye on the time there. Here's a lie. Here's a little diagram. Here's the truth. This is the truth. What's the best lie? Here's a lie over here. Here's a lie over here. What's the best lie?
No lie.
It's the lie that comes closest to the truth. That's the best lie. You have a $100 bill. What's the best counterfeit $100 bill? The one that comes very close to the original. That's the best lie. The best lie is to say that Jesus Christ came, but not in the flesh. The best lie is to say that Christ is gone and that he is here somewhere, in the atmosphere or in some guru in India or some guy in London, England somewhere. The one that hung on the cross, he is the Christ. The one that rose from the dead, he is the Christ, and there is no other. So the world wants to lie to us, and they do, but not to you and me. Verse 23, whoever denies the Son is the same as not the Father. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Okay? What happened to you at the beginning when you became a believer? The truth came in to your heart and you know it and you can tell the difference. You know what is the lie and what is not. And you continue in it. What happens? You get muscles. You get more muscles. You get stronger. What happens when you walk in truth? It grows in you. You start to recognize the nature of God in your life. And that's in 1 John chapter 3. Let's look at verse 25. This is the promise that he's promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Here's the diagram. Seduce. Tempt you. Tempt you. Draw you away. Seduce you. The carrot, you know, the bait, the fish hook, the worm on the bait, the seducing, the decoys in the pond, the decoys are wooden decoys floating out there for the real geese or ducks that are flying in. They see them. Ah, what a beautiful looking piece of wood. Yeah, right? The goose knows better. The ducks know better. That it's a seduction. That it's a trick. It's a ruse. It's a lie. It's not true. It's not the answer. How many people say, I want happiness, so they go to a drug, and the drug has an effect, and then they have another hard, it's a hard life, because you went after the bait. You went after the bait because now you have another kind of hard, a hard life because of being addicted to a drug. But why not take this one? And go after Jesus, but I don't see Jesus. Yeah, I know. But he's there. Yeah, but I don't feel Jesus. I know. But he's there. Just walk with him. And it increases and it grows, and you will know him by the anointing of God. And the Spirit of God will bear witness to you and say, this is the way. Walk in it. And you say, I'm walking in that way. I'm going in that way. That's the way I'm going to go. And then you find yourself satisfied, encouraged, and share in those words. Honestly, this is in principle. You share in these words with God. It's not our motivation, but it happens. Wow, how did I get the power? How did I get the power to say no to sin? God gave it to me. How did I get the wisdom to make a decision? That was a tough decision, and I did it, and I can't believe that happened, but God gave it to me. That happens. He shares his glory with us. We experience something we didn't have in this world. We find him and grow in him. Let's finish chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. The word abide means it's a relationship. It means that it's from John 15, abiding in the vine, the branch abides. It's about fellowship. The anointing, it is in fellowship with you. You have fellowship with God. You have a fellowship with God in the morning. You have one at night. You have one in your trial. You have a fellowship with God. You listen to God. Maybe with tears, but you have fellowship with God. And that's abiding in you. That's your relationship. And you do not need that any man teach you, verse 27. You don't need that any psychikos anthropos means soulish man teach you. You don't need a soulish man to teach you. I need somebody to teach me biology or mathematics or history or something. Maybe I go to a school and I need people to teach me. But I don't need a natural man to teach me the things of God, because he can't. He can't. That's why some of us left the university to go to Bible college, because in Bible college they were teaching us about God. In Bible college, they're teaching us about who we are in the anointing of God. I went to a very little Bible college up in Maine that changed my life, because it was anointed, and the classes were anointed, and the teachers were anointed, and I was learning the Bible like never before. And I started to, I took another hard. It was hard. But that was the hard I decided, and I went that way, and it got easier, and I understood it more, and I found it to be an answer. And now we're doing this now today here in Baltimore, and we have done it in many different parts of the world as a ministry, and we've seen people grow and find Christ and grow and find interest and grow and change their attitude and grow and change their vocabulary and grow and change their way of thinking and their purpose in life and increase with the increase of God. That happens. That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. Let's read verse 27. It says, "You don't need a natural man teach you, but the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie. And even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him, fellowship with him." The last two verses. "Now, little children, abide in him," meaning fellowship with him, "that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Do you know what happens when somebody talks about Jesus coming back? There's joy. I know he's coming. I can't wait. I'm excited about, oh, wow. World will be a better world when we're going to meet him in the air. I'm excited. If he came right now, I'm ready to go. Come on. I got my rapture clothes on. I'm standing in the backyard just ready, practicing, going up, just practicing. I'm ready to go. I'm anticipating it. Where did that come from? That confidence, it says. It says you have confidence. There is no hesitation. There's no pause. Wait a minute. He's coming back. Wait. I'm not ready. Wait. Not right now. I got a lot going on. I got a garden. I got a plant. I got my dog I got to take care of. No. When you are in the Spirit, in the anointing of God in your heart, you have confidence about his coming. You're anticipating a better world. You're anticipating meeting Christ in heaven. You're anticipating what's going to come on the earth because you taste it now in your heart and in your spirit. You have confidence and you're not ashamed. Verse 29, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Amen. That's it for the message today. Praise the Lord. Wow, great. Amen. Pastor Steve. Oh, one invitation. If you've never accepted Christ, come today to Jesus. As you are just now, come to Jesus Christ by faith. Say yes to Jesus Christ. I accept him. I want him in my heart. I want him in my life. I'm going to make that decision today by trusting in him. He's alive and cares about you. Say yes to Jesus. Say, "Lord Jesus, I ask you into my life today. Save me, I pray, and teach me these things. Guide me in my life. Help me. Help me in your name. Amen."